This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kyle Petty's become a great friend of the show, man. What an amazing part of racing. What a representative of racing. I mean, his entire family is racing. From his grandfather to his father, the King Richard, and of course, himself. And, you know, his family, just the Petty name means racing, like Earnhardt means racing. And... but his ability to keep moving forward and get into all this stuff, you just don't see anybody doing anymore, whether he's commentating on television, whether he's writing a best-selling book, whether he's recording an album. It is amazing how many different things he has opened up in his world and different things he can do. Hold on. You good to go, Jake?
Yeah, he's on there. We're ready.
Excellent, man. Kyle Petty.
Born June 2nd in Randleman, North Carolina, the son of NASCAR legend Richard Petty, he made his stock car debut at age 18, winning his first race, the 1979 Daytona ARCA 200, making him the youngest driver to ever win a major stock car race. He went on to a NASCAR career that found him with 173 top 10 finishes and 8 wins before retiring in 2008. He told his story in his book, Swerve or Die. You've seen him as the host of the Circle TV show, Dinner Drive. He founded the 84-acre Victory Junction Camp, enriching the lives of children with serious illnesses. And today he's here to talk about the big NASCAR race weekend, September 27th through 29th at Kansas Speedway. Please welcome NASCAR legend and friend of the show, Kyle Petty.
Kyle Petty, how are you this morning, brother?
I'm great. How about you, my friend?
Better than I deserve, man. Congratulations on your ride. I heard it was a beautiful run all the way to the Carolinas.
Listen, man, every road leads home. Just remember that.
Yep.
No matter where you go, they all lead back to there. So, yeah, we left South Dakota this year and rode down through the middle of the country there and had a great time. Went to Indy, went to the Corvette Museum, did some stuff, but had a great ride.
I had a week-long vacation come up, and I just didn't plan well. And so I was sitting there, got off work Friday. Saturday afternoon, I was sitting there, and I just, without even thinking, I started putting some clothes in a bag. And by 2:30 in the afternoon, I'd gotten on my bike. I wasn't even sure which way I was going to go. Stopped in St. Louis that night. Ended up going to Memphis, rolling into Nashville, back through Jackson, up the Natchez Trace into Nashville, and then back to Kansas City over the course of 5 days.
Listen, that's what motorcycles are for. So you don't think. You right. Just get on them and go, man. They lead you where they want you to go, man. That's the way they are. That's the way it's always been for me. Inside that helmet, you can go anywhere.
Yeah, no, it was beautiful. I thought about you a bunch, man, and just the amount of work you've done for Victory Junction. And, it is amazing, dude, the things that give us such joy. Others see as a sacrifice, right? But it's something you do because it's in your heart and it makes you happy and it's what you want to do with this life.
You know what? It is funny, and that's a great point because it's like you and you and your show, man. Your show gives you a platform to do good and to do things for other people and to do things and spread the gospel and do things that you want that makes you happy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, you go to work. Yeah, that people call it work. I never called what I did work, but I rode around in circles my whole life, and eventually it gave me a platform to do something.
Right. Yeah, and it is amazing the way our lives will go and the doors that will open for you. We were talking earlier about the music career you've had and just everything you've done from best-selling books to commentating. It is, I think you're just one of those rare people I've met that just the answer is yes. You go, okay, I'll try that. I'll give it a go.
Yeah, listen, I look at it that way. My dad looks at it this, I'm just too lazy to keep a job for more than 6 or 7 months. I just hop around and do a lot of different things. So I think there's two books on that subject for sure.
Right. Well, listen, I don't know if you're going to make it to Kansas. Are you going to make it into Kansas City for the?
I hope I make it to Kansas. Yeah. I don't know if, obviously NBC, Dale Jarrett and all those guys will be out there and doing it. And, hopefully I'm not on the schedule now, but I talked to my boss the other day and I told him, I said, it doesn't make any difference. I'm going because the playoffs are going to be incredible this year. They've already started crazy here at Atlanta yesterday. And then we go to Watkins Glen this weekend and then Bristol the first round. By the time we get there, there's going to be some big time names that are going to already be out of the playoffs because this it's going to be crazy this year.
Well, I'm waiting, you know, because there's some bubble guys. Yeah, Kozlowski, Burton, Truex, Briscoe, all those guys. And then you look up, and even Hamlin's not placing well. And, you know, I'm not a fan of Denny Hamlin, but God, he can drive a car. It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy, man.
Listen, that is the funniest thing, and I laugh sometimes, and it's fascinating to me. You know, there's a lot of people that aren't Denny Hamlin fans,
right?
And there's a lot that are.
Sure.
There's a lot that are.
Sure.
But I'm gonna tell you what: the one thing, whether you love him, hate him, it doesn't make any difference. He's gonna go down as one of the greatest drivers ever set in a race car.
It's a fact.
I mean, he has done so much. And when you least expected him to, I mean, it's like he would get his back against the wall and he'd still win a race and do stuff. And he is a phenomenal talent. But yeah, he's on that cut line too, man. He and his Gibbs teammate, you know, Ty, Ty had a great day, just had nothing to show for it after Atlanta. So, you know, one slip. And these guys are below that line, and it's tough to catch up once you get behind.
And I'll tell you who. And Logano's always been a gifted driver, but he didn't have a lot of seasoning, a lot of experience. And my Uncle Paul would have told him he needed some hair on his peaches. And and so, but he got it right. Like now he comes out. I mean, he's a man. I mean, he's grown into an incredibly good racer.
Yeah. So it's a funny thing. We always he drove for Gibbs when he started.
Yeah,
and I have always referred to him kind of like those slot machines that are out at the casino there at the Speedway. That Joe Gibbs put a bunch of coins in the casino, and the slot machine kept pulling the handle, and nothing happened. And Penske sat down in front of it as soon as Gibbs got up.
Yep.
And Penske, it's paid huge dividends for Penske. I mean, two championships, 34 races. I mean, it's been fascinating what he's done at Penske. And you know, here's the one thing with Joey, okay? And you say this. You can say it about a lot of different people, but we say it about sports more than anything else. Is you can't see their heart, you can't see what they want, you can't see that innermost thought, those innermost feelings that they have. Joey Logano, you get him within four or five laps of a checkered flag, and you put him on the front row or the second row, and he's going to get a trophy. He's going to get a trophy, man. He just is one of the most determined guys I have ever seen set in a race car. And you know, when we got to Atlanta there at the end, the way the cautions played out and where he was at, Dale Jarrett looked at each other. We looked at each other on the box and we're like, mark it down, Joey Logano wins the first race. And he did. And that's just the way it is. I mean, it's just unless we go back to Richmond and he gets taken out like Dylan took him out, yeah, he wins the race. That's the way it is.
Well, and there's a few guys like that. Everybody wants to win. Everybody's obviously talented to be at this level of racing. But there are guys like your father, like Richard, both Earnhardt Jr. and Senior. And that there's something there that, man, you're right, when that scent hits, like it gets down to the wire, like they don't care, I'm going. It's on. Boyer, man, I mean, you, dude, I remember watching him upside down and on fire crossing the finish line at Daytona.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he didn't care. No, he'll just go for it.
That's it. And you know, you say it. You know, you say it about the greats in basketball. You know, and it's like they're the guys that say, "Just give me the ball. Just give me the ball." You say it about the great running backs. Just let me have it. Put it in my hands, and I'll make something happen. You know, and that's kind of the way it is. Is with drivers like that. It's like just put it in my hands. Give me an opportunity, and I'll make it happen for you.
Well, and that's what we love. We love to see people triumph. We love to see the push, the move. That we didn't expect to happen. With the Denny Hamlin, same way I kind of, the Bush brothers, like Kurt to me makes sense. Kyle, sometimes I get frustrated with, but that's because like many fans, I'm emotionally invested in the guys too. And it's the drive. And some guys, it's the moment they could win. Some guys, I think the more people, if they dislike them, that'll give them energy. Sometimes it's the crowd that loves them. It's, you never know, I think, what drives somebody to be great, why they're going to get in there and do something nobody else can do.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I could never be a coach, because you don't know what desire and what drive those 30 people have. You know what I mean? But you're exactly right. You don't know with these guys, and so many of these guys come along, and they're great race car drivers.
Yeah.
But you put them in that position, and they might win or they might not. And then there's other guys, you put them in that position, and you know they're going to win. There's just that definitive yes, this is their day.
All right, let me take it back around to motorcycles before I let you go. I know that we got a short time. I how many do you own right now? Like, what do you have any of your original bikes? And I ask you that for a reason.
So listen, I got just about every bike I've ever owned. I've got four bikes between 1992 and 2012 four Harleys, from a Road King to an Ultra, and they all have 100,000 miles on them. When I get 100,000 miles on them, I just park one and get another one. That's kind of the way it is. So I got 400,000 miles on those bikes, and you're not going to believe this. I just bought a 1964 Panhead basket case yesterday. It's rusted, it's beat up, but you know what? Every piece is there, and that's all that matters. That's my new project, is to start work on that 64.
It'll frustrate you. It's going to get hard. It'll feel different. There's something super magical about all those, man. All the way back, the Panheads, the shovels, all of them. And the reason I ask is, I was lucky enough, I bought my first one in 96, my first Harley. It was a huge point of passage for me. Like, it was like you became a man. You know, you finally got there. It cost exactly what I made a year. I stupidly sold it, and the guys at the dealership always knew, and they knew it bothered me, and they'd tease me that it was in a field, that it had been broken, that it was rusted, that it had been crashed. And on my 20th anniversary years ago, they had found it in Kentucky, traded for it, and restored it back to its original OEM. I was out riding it this weekend, and I just thought about how much I love it and how different it is. How that mic, the frame, the engine, the you know, it's carbureted, the way it sits, everything about it is no longer in play with the new Harleys. And good, bad, or indifferent, it's just so absolutely different, man. There's a magic to those.
Yep. So I have to tell you this, and you're exactly right. So when I was 14, my uncle, my mother's brother, was killed in Talladega on a pit road accident. He was part of my dad's pit crew.
I remember
that
story.
And he was 5 years older than me, and he had a 74 Harley, Sportster. And I ended up with that thing, and I rode that thing to school. And you talk about being a man. When I rode dirt bikes when I was a kid, when I rode in the Randleman High School on that 70 on that Harley when I was 16 years old, I was the guy, man. I couldn't get a date at high school in the mid 70s. Your dad runs race cars and you drive a motorcycle to school. Ain't nobody in town gonna let their daughter go out with you. That's the way it was, man.
No, so outlaw as outlaw gets.
That's it. So I still have that bike, man, and I take that bike out at least once a month, keep it running, keep everything going, you know, because it's an older bike. You got to keep the gaskets warm and everything.
Yep.
So it doesn't just make a puddle in your driveway. So, but it is. It is. That bike brings back, for me, I get on that bike and I'm 16. You know what I mean? I'm 64 years old, but I'm 16 and riding to high school on that thing.
Yeah, dude, I know the feeling, man. I was doing it this weekend. I love those guys at Worth.
Good for you.
All right, listen, I love you, brother, and I know you got to get going, but I hope to see you here in Kansas.
Thank you, man. Look forward to it.
See you, man. Kyle Penny, man. I really enjoy that guy. He's one of those few guys that you're going to meet along the way that is truly comes from a great place, a great ability. He's accomplished everything. He's an 8-time championship, like his father. He comes from royalty. But
no, he's an icon with the family.
But in his heart, like, he's one of us.
Yeah.
He's a real guy.
And like I said, I was telling you this morning to pull the curtain back. Like, once the push comes to shove, like that they did a tour with him this morning. And we've talked to him at Sturgis and other places, but they did a tour through NBC Sports, and they were going to try to kind of wedge us out. They were
right.
Doing
what Jake is saying to you guys, there's the big networks.
Yeah. They were doing a series of interviews this morning, and I tried to get in on it, and I did, and then they tried to squeeze us out.
Because we're little. Yeah.
And his wife, Morgan, stepped right in, and I heard part of the conversation was like, Kyle, we'll be talking to them this morning. You could tell they take no ass over there.
No, like, no because ass. They're real human beings. Like, what, you know, people say, you can't stay true to your roots.
Yeah.
And the Petty family just does. That ride that he does across America. And again, I will tell you, he does it for his own heart and I think his own soul as much as he does to raise money for Victory Junction, which is what he opened after his son was killed.
Yeah.
And This camp does so much for kids, and he raises so much money and inspires so many people. But he does it because, in his heart, that's where he lives. That's his happiness. That's what he feels, I think, complete at that moment.
Yeah.
And, I think the world of that guy. I mean, every time we talk, I find something even more interesting about him.
He's a good dude. That's the kind of dude that makes me laugh. He's He's moved into like a Larry the Cable Guy, or like when Saget was with us. That's a real celebrity who, but if you really needed something and called that guy,
yes,
he'd be like, well, where are you? I'll come get you. Hang mm-hmm. on. I mean, he's a real dude.
100.
Real guy.
100, man.
Yeah.
He, and again, he's seen it all. Like he's, again, it's so crazy to think of him as being 64. I don't even think of him as 64.
Yeah.
But he's seen it all. He's seen everybody come up. He came up. He saw the greats race. He saw, you know, his father and the Intimidator run at each other, go at it hard as you could. Then he got to compete in that course. Then he saw Junior come up. He saw all the greats come ripping through.
Yeah.
And so always, I love to get his introspection on everything. Because, you know, Logano was kind of a, and if you're a race fan, you'll get it. If you're not, I can't help you. But he's, if you weren't, let me tell you, Joey Logano was young, goofy, kind of, he just didn't feel like he was, he felt like he was created, not like he'd grown into it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But he had to get a little seasoning on him, a little dirt under his fingernails. He needed to get his ass kicked a few times.
Yeah.
Now he races like he'll get out of that car and fist fight some guy.
Well, you could tell even when he was in studio here. I mean, we've had dudes in like a Kurt Busch.
Yeah.
Who Kurt, seasoned, ready to go.
And you can love Kurt or hate Kurt. I didn't know how I felt about Kurt, honestly, except for he's obviously a great racer until he got here. And then I think we both felt the same way when he left.
Yeah, fantastic. And then that's the way I feel about Logano. When he was, of course, he was younger when he was here, but he was, it was very awkward, very new, and yeah, it did feel very, well, he's a pretty good driver. Let's make him into something.
And then when you'd ask him a question, he'd think, what am I supposed to say?
Uh-huh. Who should I be right here?
And we've all been used to Boyer. You know, my first race car, my first driver experience, I think would have to be Clint, like to really spend some time
for somebody we know. Yeah.
And so as soon as you met Boyer, you ask him a question, he'd tell you what was going on.
Like, he'd tell you too much.
Well, that's how I ended up selling that Mercury to him. I built this 1949 Merc Chop Top and we were just having a big conversation on the radio and I go, well, yeah, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it. And he's like, man, I love those. Can I see it? And I just figured it was radio talk, right?
Right.
As soon as the show was over, he's like, can we go to your house? And I was like, okay, let's go. So there's Clint Boyer standing in my house at 10:25 in the morning. And so we're standing there and we go downstairs. We look at it and the negotiation took this long. My dad had just gotten sick. He'd had an aneurysm and he'd had that surgery. They had really questionable medical insurance at that time.
So you knew the bill was coming.
And the deductible and the bill that hit was sizable, and I knew they couldn't. My mom was still doing great, and my dad had just gotten sick. And he goes, well, what do you want for it? I go, well, I've got 35 in it. And he just goes, great, okay. And that was it.
What?
Dude, and a check was cut, and that was it, and the trailer came, and the car went away. And people have asked me, are you sad? And I go, no, dude. That dude, at a moment, I didn't know where I was going to come up with $35,000 to help my mom and dad.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't be, and I still get to see it. I still Google it.
Yeah.
I'll still be
because then he took it on.
Yeah, and I thought it was done.
You made him happy.
Yeah, well, then I thought it was done, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good amount of money, 35. Yeah, no.
There's always another level.
I bet he dropped another 70 in that thing, and
oh my God.
And it's ridiculous now. Like it's ridiculous.
You're like, oh, it was pretty cute when you had it.
Yeah, yeah. But the point was, I always thought, man, right when I needed it most, that dude just, and it was just there. And I've just always looked at it that way. Never that I had to sell a car that I loved. It was just, it's just an object.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of it being a big, arduous problem, like how do I sell it? How do I get the right money? Who does it go to?
I think of it going to the right home.
Yeah, no, 100%, man. It was absolutely perfect.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.